We're doing Sefer HaMidot, we're doing Shaar HaTefilah, the third chapter in Shaar HaTefilah, page Shinayin Bet. And to all our listeners, good news, the book Sefer HaMidot is again available. Dani Sfarim informed me 2 or 3 weeks ago that you can purchase the book again. So people were looking to buy the book, now you can again buy the book. ועילת התפילה דע כי רוח איש יחלקל הדברים במשפט שכלו ורוח מבינתו יענה ויעוררהו כי ראוי הבורא שברא אותו וימציאו בחסדו וגומל לטובות בין מספר להודות ולהלל שמו הנכבד כמאמר יעלוך השם אלוקינו כל מעשיך וחסידיך צדיקים וגומר עד כי לך טוב להודות שמך נאה לזמר. A person has to know, says the Magid Midubna, that a person's spirit will support, will give him the wording to say in prayer in accordance with his intellect. As much as one understands, one is aroused to pray. Because if one analyzes this idea that the Creator created him out of kindness and consistently does so many good things to him, so then it's fitting to thank him, to praise him, as the verse says. Yehallelucha Hashem Elokeinu. It's not a verse, it's what we say at the conclusion of Hallel. Kol ma'asecha. All your creations should praise you, Hashem. Ki lecha tov leodot, u'shincha ne'eh lezamer. It is fitting, it is good, it is correct to give thanks and to sing in your honor. Omnam al zot yileh koach sichlenu v'katzra yad asagateinu, asher ha'borei t'barach yakpid hazeh v'yachmod v'yitavel t'fiyatan shel tzadikim. But there's something here that we have a very hard time understanding. Why does the Creator desire the prayer of the righteous? The Talmud tells us that Hashem wants our prayer. Why? What are we accomplishing with our prayer? Why is it that Hashem wants the prayer of the righteous? What changed after we davened? What does that mean that Hashem wants it? And aside from that, can anyone really recount Hashem's greatness? And on the contrary, our sages say the greatest praise to Hashem is be quiet. Because whatever you say is detracting. You're never going to encompass His praise. So what's this idea of prayer? Yes, I can understand why I need to pray. I can understand why, in accordance with my intellectual acumen, I will express my prayer. I will express my praise. I will express my thanks. That reflects on me. Understood. But what does it mean that Hashem wants the prayer of the righteous? What does He get out of it? Our sages said, be careful. Don't say too much praise in your prayer, because whatever you're going to say, you're going to fall short. So stick to the formula. Our sages actually tell us in Tractate Brachos, there was a man who was standing in prayer, and he wanted to impress everyone. He started saying, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor HaNora HaAmitz. He started giving a whole list of praises. Amar le Rav Chisda, siyamtinu l'chudu shivchei demarach. Rav Chisda asked him, are you done? If you've broken the formula, so you're adding praise, so have you really encompassed all the praise you should have said? Once you've broken the formula, so how can you ever stop? Aval im kol ze yakar b'nei Hashem tfilot Yisrael. So even though we don't understand this concept that Hashem says, I like your prayer, we don't understand what that means, Hashem wants our prayer. But we do know that our prayers, the prayers of Israel, are precious in the eyes of Hashem. And Hashem does say He likes our praise, our requests. That one of the things we can recognize, that the basic respect that a person has to show appreciation and give thanks for what they've received, that causes a person to receive more. And this seems obvious, but I'll give you an example of where people miss it. People are going out, they want to be set up. Someone sets them up, and maybe they're not interested. Maybe they got a better offer. Do they call the person back and say, thank you very much, I appreciate it, I have another offer that I think seems to match better, so I'm going to go with it? No, people don't do that. And what happens? Then Let's say I called someone and I offered them a shidduch. They don't call me back. A week passes, 2 weeks pass. I don't know what's going on. Am I going to call them back and offer them another shidduch? Not so fast. If they would call me back right away and they'd say, thank you very much, I appreciate it. I don't think this is a good idea for me. I'm looking for someone more like this, that, or the other thing. Then I could work with that. But if they don't call me back, so then they're on their own. They didn't call me back. And it's basic etiquette. A person sets you up, at least call back and say thank you. Very often, you set someone up, they go out with the girl you set them up with, and it doesn't work. Do they call back and say thank you? You know, it takes a lot of time. I come from a generation where people didn't have cell phones. And then when they had cell phones, every minute of conversation to when you'd call a cell phone here in Israel, the caller would pay a very hefty price. If you go back a decade ago, we were paying over a shekel a minute calling a cell phone. I was setting people up. My phone bill was over 1,000 shekel a month just on shidduchim because I was setting people up. Does anyone bother to call and say thank you? I appreciate you set me up. I appreciate you took the time. You made the phone calls. You did the effort. And if people don't call back and say thank you, then what are the odds they're going to get another shidduch? Maybe high, maybe low. But if they do call back and say thank you, the odds are higher. You go to someone for a Shabbos meal. Do you call after Shabbos and say thank you? A person gets a gift. Do they write a thank you letter? In our generation, it's becoming less common that people actually write a thank you letter. Thank you so much for A or B or C. So what's the excuse? I got so many gifts. How can I write so many thank you letters? Really? That's an excuse? Maybe it goes the other way around. So they write form letters today. I've gotten those. Where a bar mitzvah boy has his computer print out. You know, he just types the name of this guy, that guy, and the other guy. And it's a form letter. Thank you so much for enriching my bar mitzvah. Thank you so much for coming. And thank you for your gift. Wishing you all the best. Chaim Oikov. No, what's a... Okay. So when a person expresses appreciation, that makes it the most likely that a person will again receive, will again be the benefactor of the giver's kindness. And that's natural, for humans at least, that's natural. And we miss that point. We miss it in our interaction with other people. And people who miss it lose big time. People who can tap into this will gain big time. You call a friend and you ask him for a contact, for a job offer. He gives you the contact, he pursues it, he arranges the interview. Whether the interview goes well or does not go well, you should call that person up and thank him. Thank you for taking the time, thank you for setting me up, thank you for putting in a good word. You do that, you build bridges. I know there are people that when I see them on my caller ID, they need a favor. Because they're never going to call to say thank you, they're never going to call for anything else, they're calling because they need a favor. Okay, if I can, I answer. But it's a little bit sad. That's not the way it should be. So I am their rag. I am to be used and disposed of when they're done with me. If there were a real relationship, then there should actually be some kind of communication other than that. Again, I'm telling you something that our generation overlooks. And it's a mistake. And people pay the price. People do not cultivate relationships because I have 500 friends on Facebook. You want me to wish them all a good Shabbos? But maybe I should have 5 friends in my life. Maybe. Maybe I should have certain friends that are real. And if someone's actually doing something for me, I should say thank you. So the Ribon Shalom gives us a mitzvah of prayer. The mitzvah of prayer is actually educational on many levels, one of which is the responsibility to say thank you, to show appreciation. It takes humility, because in saying thank you, we're also admitting that we needed something. That's why in Hebrew, the word todah has the same root as modeh. To be modeh, to give thanks, is also the identical word as to admit. Because when I'm saying thank you, I'm admitting I needed something. Asher Elkenif, I'm sorry, Yaakov, yes.
Is it not acceptable? I mean, when you go to someone for Shabbat and you thank them, after the meal on your way out. That's not socially acceptable. You're supposed to call after?
No, you don't have to call after. But let me tell you, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was at a wedding. Friends of ours married off a child. And at the wedding, I was very, very impressed that people danced with care for one another. Meaning the way people dance shows you a lot about the people. Sometimes people are dancing and it's all about showing their own moves. Sometimes people are dancing and they're running in the circle and they're happy they finally have an opportunity to let out some steam. And sometimes people dance and you feel like the way they're dancing, they care about the next guy. There's care going on as the dancing goes on. There's happiness, there's dancing, and you also sense that no one wants to step on anyone else's toes. If you're not running at the pace of the next guy, he's not trying to pull your arm out of its socket. There's care. There's real... The dancing reflects a happiness of holiness. It's not just a wild happiness. Sometimes you come to a wedding and you see people are just getting wild. It's great. There's an open bar. It's free. There's dancing. There's music. Do I really care who the chassan is? What difference does it make? So it's no difference than dancing at a bar. So I was at this wedding and it was a special experience seeing the dancing and seeing a bunch of yeshiva guys who I felt were sensitive and kind and caring, and the dancing was holy. I came home, I sat down and wrote them a short email. I figured they're not going to see it for another day or two, but I wrote them an email. I said to them, you know, it's very special and it reflects on the chatan, that these are his friends, that that's the type of wedding that you guys had. In the middle of the dancing, the DJ calls out Kedusha. And it felt so apropos because that's really what was going on there. This was a dance that was all about Kiddusha, about holiness. So I just wrote them those three sentences. 3 weeks passed and understandably they were busy. They didn't have time to answer my email. Maybe they did, I don't remember. But I met them at a wedding a few days ago and they came over and they said how much they appreciated that email. So you show appreciation one way, it sits by people. You don't have to. It's not like you have to call a person every Matzah Shabbos and say thank you to all your hosts. But if you really got something out of the meal, then you should find another way to say thank you. There's the thank you as you walk out the door that everyone says that carries very little weight. Thank you very much. Goodbye. We're done. I did mine. I said thank you, right? If you want your thank you to express more, then you have to actually invest something in it. How you do it, that's your call. I gave one suggestion. You know, there are other ways to do it. But all I'm saying is that the appreciation should be sincere and the appreciation should be heartfelt and you have to find a way of expressing that. And usually thank you doesn't cut it. The food was delicious. Thank you very much. Okay? I heard you. Yeah, okay. Fine.
Well, not someone who you do something for and they don't show appreciation, should you be upset about that?
No. Like we saw in the Chazon Ish yesterday, a person has to hold himself to a higher standard and be understanding and giving and patient when someone else is not that way. So just because someone doesn't call you back and say thank you for a shidduch doesn't mean you shouldn't set them up. I have a friend, we'll leave him for a second. There was a girl who I called to set her up a few times. And I got the feeling that she wasn't answering my phone calls. I said to myself, but I have a shidduch that makes sense for her. So I tried again. And again, she's not answering my phone. So I forced myself and I said, I'm going to try one more time. Because I got the feeling that, you know, if there's call waiting a second earlier and a second later she suddenly can't answer, you could understand it once, you could understand it twice. By the third time, you start wondering. She was able to talk to someone a second ago, she can't answer my call. And she doesn't return my call. Okay. I forced myself to try one more time. She answers the phone, and I say, hi, it's Netanel Frankenthal. And she says, oh, no, it's you? Oh. So I said, it doesn't have to be. I was about ready to hang up. She said, no, if you called already, tell me what you called about. And that shidduch, I set her up with her husband. She's married to the guy till today. Yeah.
So we're just then.
What?
I don't know.
Why? Because she felt that this is the nuisance, this is the shadchan. I don't want to talk to him. What does he know? Okay, maybe. Maybe. I answered and then I said, it doesn't have to be. I said to myself, I force myself to call her again. If she doesn't want to talk to me, that's her prerogative. I don't have to force it. So I think we have to be patient. I think we have to be kind. I think we have to be giving. But that doesn't mean we have to force our kindness on others. They don't want it. Fine. You know, there's a fine line here. I'm saying I forced myself to call, but if she would have hung up on me, I wouldn't have called again. There is that line. I'm saying we have to push ourselves and be patient and giving and caring, even though the other person is not right. But there comes a limit at which point you say, fine, you don't want, you know, deal yourself. I don't have to chase after you to help you. Okay, so back to the Magid Midovna. The Magid Midovna again said that when a person has hakarat hatov, when a person can express appreciation for the good that he receives, that is the greatest motivator for receiving more in the future. Someone will give you again if you were able to express hakarat hatov. I can tell you that women are more apt to invite the guests that show real appreciation for their cooking, because she's worked hard preparing that food. And if you can show real appreciation for the food she prepared, then she will be more apt to want to have you over again. That's why our sages went to such lengths speaking about the punishment of a person who doesn't bother saying blessings or prayers. Ad ki amor, sages said, sages said it's prohibited to enjoy the world without a blessing. If a person enjoyed the world and did not give a blessing, it's as though he stole from heaven's treasure chest, so to speak. By what right did you eat that fruit? Ah, it's yours? It's not yet yours. Say thank you. We have an old custom in our shul. It predates me. And maybe I should learn from it. The Gabbaim give out candy bags on Simchas Torah. But when they give the child the candy bag, they hold on to it until the child says thank you. Then they let go. It's very interesting, because I give candies every Friday night. And I don't demand the thank you. I don't. Maybe I should learn from them. Maybe, you know, the previous rabbi, the rabbi of the shul before I came, I think he's the one that instituted it. I assume so. It's before my time. So I give every Friday night, and I don't insist on the thank you. Maybe it's wrong.
Sounds like a sweet custom.
Yeah. Rabbi Levi Rami, k'tiv l'shem arz u'mnuah, k'tiv l'shem arz natan livnei adam. We have a verse that says, all of earth is God's. We have another verse that says, God gave earth to man. Lo kasha, that's not a contradiction. Kan kol mecha, kan lacha b'cha. It depends. Did you say thank you? Did you make a blessing? Then Hashem says, I've given it to man. You didn't make a blessing, Hashem says, it's all mine. So we'll continue here, Bezat Shem, next time. The Magid Midovna taught us today that a person's own understanding should spurn them on to say thank you, to pray, to praise his Creator when he recognizes the kindness the Creator has done with him. He said there's a concept that we have a hard time understanding. We're taught that Hashem desires our prayer. Why would Hashem desire our prayer? Nonetheless, he said, we do know that it is our responsibility to pray and say thank you. And this idea that we expanded on, that when a person shows appreciation, then the giver is more apt to give more. And the responsibility we have to say thank you, to say blessings, and that one who does not, our sages say, it's as though he took something that was not his. By what right did he take it? By the way, I don't demand the thank you in shul, because I view my role with the kids as being different. I think their parents have to train them to say thank you. I'm not sure I have to train them to say thank you. I believe that's a parent's role, maybe a teacher's role. And my goal in the shul is to have a connection with the kids without their feeling that I'm making any demands on them. I think in education you have to make demands on kids. I think a rabbi of a shul has a different role in a child's life. I don't think the role should be to make demands on a kid. A kid has to feel like in shul he's always loved and accepted, and that no one's rebuking him and saying, hey, you forgot to say thank you. So that's the reason I don't do it. But as parents, you guys should do it. meaning your job as parents is going to be to train your kids to say thank you. That is your responsibility. Whether it's my responsibility or not, I'm not sure. I think not. That's why I don't do it, but maybe I should rethink that. But as I mean my responsibility as a rabbi, not as a parent. As a parent, I do it. And you guys as parents do. You do have to do it. You have to train your kids to say thank you, to express appreciation.